It's Albright at Hood College, a doubleheader, Wednesday evening starting at 5:50 on 930 WFMD.
It's the Morning News Express, Free Talk 930 WFMD, 301-694-9363, 301-694-WFMD. In the studio is the president of the NAACP here in Frederick. His name is Mr. Willie Mahone. Sir, thank you for being part of the program. Appreciate you being here.
Thank you for inviting me.
Tell me a little bit about what the NAACP is doing nowadays. I mean, you're the president going into your second year as the president of the NAACP. So what's going on with the NAACP?
Well, there are two primary projects that we are pursuing right now. One is the inclusion of women and ethnic minorities in contract opportunities by both the city and county government.
Okay.
The other one that's taking up our time and energy is looking at improving the representation of minority teachers, African-American ethnic-minority teachers in the Board of Education, as well as overall policies and issues concerning African-American students or students of color. As you may know, a report came out, I guess, about a year and a half ago. Well, they come out regularly, but the most recent one indicated that there was a disproportionate level of suspensions, long-term suspensions, out-of-school suspensions of students of color.
Mm-hmm.
And we began to address that. We initially called for a moratorium on suspensions, long-term suspensions. Now, these are suspensions of 10 days or more,
okay,
as well as expulsions of students of color until there is a review of the suspension recommendation. And we were calling, and we are calling for a review of that suspension recommendation by a community-based group. The Board of Education has seen fit to undertake putting, and the other thing we were calling for was a standing committee on minority affairs, on minority students, the curriculum, teacher hiring, suspensions of various issues. The Board of Education has seen fit to take that up and has had discussions on, I think what they call it is a racial equity committee. I think that's the language that they use now. That's being considered. And the idea, again, is to have a standing Board of Education committee that reviews issues germane to ethnic minority students. So those are the two major undertakings that we are currently involved in. Of course, there's ongoing things, yeah. People that have complaints about discriminatory acts within the school system, in the community, those kinds of things we try to respond to,
okay,
as well.
Well, let's stop you there, and then because you gave us a lot, we're gonna talk,
sure,
about the report about the Disadvantaged Business Enterprise Program that was in the paper the other day. We'll talk about that coming up with NAACP President Mr. Willie Mahone on Free Talk 930 WFMD.
So, Bob Miller, how long have you lived here?
56 years.
Diana Gibson.
Over 40 years.
Dave Conrad.
All my life.
Frank Mitchell.
24 years. But I've grown up and spent all my life in the DMV.
Tim May.
I was born here.
Kevin McManus.
30 years.
As local as you can get. 930 WFMD and WFMD.com.
22 at WFMD in the studio. Our guest is the president of the NAACP here in the Frederick chapter. His name is Willie Mahone. I want to get to an article that I saw in the Frederick News Post that you were quoted in, and it is by Wyatt Massey. It talks about the Disadvantaged Business Enterprise Program Review Panel and the fact that that you have said that maybe there's a disparity of contracts and dollars that the city are giving to female-owned and ethnic minority-owned companies. First of all, tell me a little bit about the Disadvantaged Enterprise Review Panel.
Okay. The Disadvantaged Business Enterprise Review Panel is a result of a statute, of a law, that was passed by the mayor and board of aldermen back in 1996.
Okay.
A little bit background on that. Myself, ex-alderman William O. Lee, Bill Lee, he was not an alderman at that time, and George Dredden, who was very active in the community, a businessman, we went before the mayor and board of aldermen and gave some information about statistics that my office had gleaned quite a while ago about the participation or the non-participation of women and primarily ethnic minorities at that time in city contracting. They listened, and one of our, we were lucky to have here in the city of Frederick, Fran Baker. She was the older person at that time. Fran Baker took up the mantle on that, and she went forward with it. And as a result of that, the city adopted a disadvantaged business enterprise program. The basis of that program is that it aims to include women and ethnic minorities in the contracting process for the city. And it requires that when a contractor submits a bid for a city contract, that the contractor includes women and ethnic minorities in this overall contract. And if it does not include those groups, then it submits a statement indicating why those groups were not included. The DBE panel is a panel that is was supposed to review the participation of women and ethnic minorities in city contracts initially biannually for 2 years, and then subsequent to that annually. Well, lo and behold, after that legislation went into effect in 1996, nothing happened. There was no DBE panel that was convened. There was no review of the participation of women and ethnic minorities in the contracting process. And it laid dormant there until our organization raised the issue about 2 years ago.
Now, when you say your organization, you're talking about the NAACP.
NAACP, okay. Myself as the director sent letters directly to the city inquiring about the participation of women and ethnic minorities in the city contracting. Interestingly enough, the initial response was that they did not have the data or information concerning that. And we went back and forth, and then I finally pointed out to them that the law that went into effect in 1996 and that was subsequently reaffirmed in 2013 by the mayor and board of aldermen required that data be gathered through forms that are attached to the bid submission by the contractor. And the city says, okay, yeah, we do have those forms, and this data is here. So based upon that, we were saying that we needed to get that data, and we need the formation of the DBE committee as the statute had mandated. And because of our request and our pointing out that the statute mandated that these things exist, the mayor came forward and appointed a DBE committee.
Okay.
And that's a committee that's functioning now. That committee has subcommittees. If I can recall, the subcommittees are education and outreach, structural, I think something about the structure, and the historical data subcommittee.
Okay.
The historical data subcommittee, I am the chair of. And the historical data subcommittee basically has undertaken to get information, specific data, as to the participation of women and ethnic minorities in the contracting. And we looked at years beginning 2013 up to 2017. And we requested data. The data was provided by the city. That data would come in some forms and after we got the data, there would be follow-up questions as to what the data means, how we interpret that data. And I would tell you, I spent close to 20 to 30 hours myself just going over the information that was provided by the purchasing department. Incidentally, the purchasing department has the mandate of enforcing the DBE, Disadvantaged Business Participation. They have the mandate of reviewing that matter and enforcing it.
Well, let me stop you there because we've got to take a break.
Sure.
We'll have more, and we'll get into some more of the minutiae of it all and maybe just kind of an overall because of some statements that you made in the paper I want to kind of look at, and we'll get to that coming up on the Morning News Express.
930 WFMD track.
It's the Morning News Express, 834 at WFMD. In the studio is Mr. Willie Mahone. He is the president of the NAACP, also part of the Disadvantaged Business Enterprise Review Panel. And one of the comments that you said in the article that was written by Wyatt Massey, it says that you're quoted as saying it, part of the data speaks for itself. It basically shows the absence of women and ethnic minority participation in the contracting by the city. Participation doesn't match the racial and gender makeup of the, I guess I'm inferring here, of the city of Frederick. Is that a correct inference that you're saying that doesn't make it up? Because it shouldn't make up of the... the participation should be not what the ethnic population is of the city of Frederick. Shouldn't it be the population of minority-owned businesses? Shouldn't that be what the city is reflecting upon? Because not everybody's going to own a business who is a female or a minority in the city of Frederick. So there's only so many minority businesses, female-owned businesses that are available to do contracts for the city of Frederick. Correct?
Yeah, let me speak to that. I think you quoted me. I think, could you give me my quote again?
Yeah, it says here, it basically shows the an absence of women and ethnic minority participation in the contracting by the city. Participation does not match the racial and gender makeup of Frederick.
I don't think I said that. I don't think I said participation does not match the racial and gender makeup. I did not. Not only do I not think I said, I know I did not say that.
So now, you're saying that Mr. Massey is quoted you wrong?
Well, to the extent the last statement that you read, saying participation does not match the racial and gender, I did not say that.
Okay.
And to the extent that is said, that doesn't represent what I said.
Okay.
And as I recall reading the newspaper article, I don't recall seeing that. But I'll take you, I mean...
I got it underlined right there.
I see it here. But you know what's interesting here? Let me tell you what it says here. It says, in quote, and this is quoting me, it basically shows an absence of women and ethnic minorities participate in the contracting by the city. End of quote. That is what he quotes me to say, and that's what I say. The statement participation does not match the racial and gender makeup of Frederick is not what he quotes me as saying, okay? And I stand by what he quotes me as saying, and that quote is, it basically shows an absence of women and ethnic minority participation in the contracting by the city. That's what I said, that's what's in quote, and that's what I stand by. And I think it's interesting that he put that in quotes, which shows that's exactly what I said. But to get to your question, in 1989, the whole issue of minority participation in city contracts or municipal contracts ended up before the Supreme Court. The case was Croson versus Richmond. And that case set the parameters of these whole programs. And you're absolutely right. What happened was the city of Richmond had set a goal of 30% minority participation. And this was like ethnic minority participation. And they had set that goal based upon the fact that I think the city of Richmond at that time was like 50% minority. That issue ended up before the Supreme Court. And the court, and I forget the justice that wrote the decision, but the court said essentially what you're saying here, that what you do, you don't look at the percentage, you don't look at percentage parity in terms of composition of the city, but what you do look at is other factors. O'Connor wrote this, Justice O'Connor wrote the decision. What you do look at, you look at the percentage of ethnic minorities and women businesses in a relevant area. That relevant area is called statistical metropolitan area. That's what it's called, which is interesting.
So you're looking at going not just Frederick City, you're thinking about
say, Washington, D.C., Baltimore, and other areas?
We have the statistical metropolitan areas have been defined.
Okay. I'll give you a chance to look that up because we got to take another break.
Okay.
We'll have more with the NAACP president, Willie Mahone, coming up on the Morning News Express. 301-694-WFMD. That's the number to call. It's the Morning News Express. Diana Gibson has the traffic for you.
I guarantee you what we talk about this afternoon, you'll be talking about tomorrow morning. It's Ben Maryland Live from 3 to 6 on Free Talk 930 WFMD.
842 at WFMD in the studio with us. We're talking disadvantaged business enterprise program, which the city of Frederick is looking into. Willie Mahone from the NAACP is in the studios with us. I want to kind of go real quick. I tell you what, Mr. Mahone, we've got a couple of calls. Let's take a couple of calls, see what the people out there, if you'd slip on those headphones for me, please, and hopefully it won't be too blaring for you. Vincent is first on the Morning News Express. Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm good. I'll make my comment straightforward for Mr. Mahone.
Okay.
It's 2019. Frederick City's had its share of Democrat alderperson mayor. I looked up the Frederick definition for the disadvantaged business, and what I'm not hearing in your argument today is any data that you're presenting that the number of businesses that are either minority owned, and that, you know, includes people of color or by gender or whatever you want to, you know, define that as. But what you're not showing and what the website's not showing is the data that would support that disadvantaged businesses are trying to do business with the city and are unable to do business. And the moderator here has stated to you that, look, there may not be businesses that want to do business. And just because someone hangs a shingle, they may not be qualified. We've seen the abuse of this type of distribution through the federal government and other cities. And if you want to go and extrapolate from the metro areas, let's just take those metro areas beyond just Baltimore and Philadelphia and Detroit and New York City and look at the abuses. I think Frederick's done a pretty good job in terms of making sure that businesses can incubate here and build themselves up on credibility and hard work. But what I'm hearing from you is this could potentially be, quote, a shakedown because you want to enforce something that was done in 96 and it's 2019. So I'll stop there and listen. Thank you.
All right, Vince, appreciate it. I don't know if shakedown is what you're looking for, but is Frederick doing a better job? I mean, there was an article that was written.
Hold on. I can't answer but so many questions at once. Now, I want to respond to what this gentleman said.
Okay.
He used the word shakedown. I don't know what he's talking about. But if you look at the history of this country, there's been a shakedown.
Well, let's stick with Frederick City, because that's what the article's about, let's not go to the whole country.
What you're going to do, you're going to invite me in here, and then you're going to tell me what to say. That's not going to happen. Let me finish. So if you look at shakedown, we can look historically, and there are certain communities that have been, quote-unquote, shakedown over the years. But let's not talk about that. He raises the question as to whether or not there's data that supports what we are pursuing. And that's a very relevant point. And we were about to get to that when we were talking about the statistical metropolitan area. What you do, you draw a certain area, and you look in that area, and you see the number of women and ethnic minority businesses in that particular area. That's exactly what Justice O'Connor said in the Richmond versus Grossen case that I was talking about earlier. And what she said and what the court said and what has been happening, it says that what you need to have data. And we call it a disparity study, and jurisdictions do that. And where we are now at this particular point, we have recommended to the city officials that we do a disparity studies to get the data that this gentleman is talking about. And this is what has happened. Now, we made a presentation, the committee did, made a presentation to the mayor and board of aldermen like a week ago. And in that presentation, we said that that is something that's needed. And the mayor and board of aldermen have responded very, very positively, saying they're willing to move forward with the disparity study. But another interesting aspect of this, is that the disparity study would justify putting their program together. That's the data that Justice O'Connor has said that we need to do in the Croson decision. Well, We also have the county here who's involved in contracting. And you can imagine, to the extent that there are contracting done, whatever dollar amount that's done by the city is quadruple or probably tenfold mm-hmm. that of the by the county. And there has been some conversation with County Executive Gardner regarding that issue. There were questions sent to her, Public Information Act request made to her office, and some back and forth. And during her campaign, she appeared before the, when she was running for office, she appeared before the NAACP, and she stated that she was amenable to a program looking into this issue, and she said specifically getting the data to support it. Okay.
Well, now, here's the data. Here's an article. It was written in April 27th, 2018, out of the Frederick News Post that said, the headline is, data, minority-owned businesses have success winning city contracts, but participation lags. Now, is it my understanding that the city or the county or whomever should go out looking for minority-owned businesses to do contracts? That's the job of business, in my opinion. I don't believe that the city's job, in my opinion, is fine. No, hang on. You said it. I didn't let you speak.
Go ahead.
So the city's job, in my opinion, is to be able to hire the best people, the right people, and utilizing the tax dollars the wisest way they possibly can. Now, if all things are equal, then I don't care who gets a contract as long as it's, the right amount of money, the right time, and things of that nature. But I don't believe that the city needs to go knocking on a door of any business and say, hey, we need a proposal from you. We need an RFP from you. That's the job of a business. That's called hustling. If you want to go out and get a job, if you want to get a contract, and I don't know how many minority-owned businesses in Frederick, and I actually don't know how many different opportunities there are to win contracts in the city, they've got to be pretty specific type of contracts, right? I mean, we're not talking about the donut contract, for the city of Frederick or something. We're talking big municipal type of stuff, correct?
Well, doing your narrative there, you asked a couple of questions. You said something right, something correct. You asked me questions, and I forgot what the questions were. Let me finish.
Well, I'll just ask you again.
Well, I want you to do that. And your narrative about what your opinions are, you are entitled to your opinions. And I don't know whether I was invited here to review your opinion. I'm not so sure. But I will respond to what I was theoretically invited here to do. And in terms of that article that you referenced, I would tell you clearly, unequivocally that article does not capture what's really going on. You look at that article, I disavow that article, it doesn't capture what's really going on.
But that's data. So you're saying that the data is incorrect?
Yes, the data that we have. I mean, you got data and you got data. Everybody knows that.
But how can we say that your data is not skewed one way to the way you want it to be?
Well,
if you're disavowing this data,
would
you say that somebody should disavow your data?
No,
I don't think so.
Well, no, we aren't comparing apples and apples. We're comparing apples and oranges. That data speaks to something, whereas the new data, the data that we talk about, speaks to something else. And we'll sit down and go over that. But we know that you compare apples with apples as opposed to apples with oranges. And we can go through that, and we can take time to do that. Now, let me finish, if I could, in terms of this disparity study and that data and what the data shows and the basis of that data. Now, what County Executive Gardner has said, that she is amenable to the idea of a study. I sent her an email, and she responded that she could embrace that idea, that it seems something that is workable. She says, I appreciate this idea. On the surface, it seems to make a lot of sense. So what we have here, we have the county executive basically saying that this is something that seems sensible to her. Now, if we do a study, the study can be multi-jurisdictional. It can be a study that encompasses both Frederick County and Frederick City. Therefore, we would be able to, quote unquote, kill two birds with one stone in terms of doing that. Now, again, I indicate that the mayor and board of aldermen of the city has indicated that they're willing to go forward with the study. I think it's incumbent upon us as a city, the mayor and board of aldermen, to work with Ms. Gardner on the county level to see if we can do this multi-jurisdictional study that would produce data that would support whatever programs we're going to put together on both the city and county.
Stop you there. All right, got to stop you there. We got to take another break. Let's take a look at your 930 WFND traffic.
Hi, my name is Pam from Urbana, and it's time to rise and shine with Bob Miller in the Morning News Express on 930 WFMD.
It's the Morning News Express, 854 at WFMD. Let's go to the phones. We've got Willie Mahone in here in the studios, and we've got Glenn on the phone. Glenn, make it quick, buddy. We're going to be out of time soon.
All right, question for Mr. Mahone. When the minority businesses become the majority of contracting, will you then fight for the new minorities to get contracts?
There you go. Did you hear that?
I heard it. I don't know what he's talking about.
Well,
let me talk now, please.
Right. Well, I'm just trying to explain it to you.
Well, no, I heard what he said, but I don't quite understand what he's talking about. In terms of fighting for, I don't know what fighting means, but I'm an advocate of justice. I'm an advocate of fairness. I'm an advocate of that overall. If you look at me in my history, I've been involved in representing people who are disabled. I've been involved in advocating for people in the mental health system. So that's my overall advocacy. But let me get to what I think is really germane here, and that's the DBE committee. One of the mandate, this is the statutory mandate of the committee. The committee is to get information, do reviews. Such reviews will include but not be limited to regulatory effectiveness, DBE participation, impact, dollar value of contracts awarded to DBEs, and compliance. That is what the statute says. That's what the regulation says. And what we have been looking at, the dollar value of contracts awarded to DBEs and compliance. Now, the compliance is important here because the compliance is what happens is that the bidder is to submit a bid including DBEs. And if the bidder does not include DBE in the contract, then it has to submit a good faith statement as to why it has not. Now, we've looked at some of the good faith statements, and frankly speaking, they are wanting. People saying things like, well, I'm used to not having DBE involved, so I'm going to do it this way.
So you said, we've got like 4 minutes, so I want to...
Maybe you should invite me back.
Well, maybe we should, but are you saying by this participation that you want the Disadvantaged Business Enterprise Program to be open, to be able to open up bids and look at them and determine who gets bids? I mean, I think maybe I'm wrong.
You asked me a question.
Yes, I did ask a question. Yeah.
And let me see if I heard your question. Do I think that bids should be open to public scrutiny? Absolutely. Government should be transparent. Not just here, but everywhere. Everything should be subject to public scrutiny. That's the nature of government as we have it in this city, in this country. It should be transparent. Absolutely, yes.
One more question. I got to let you go because we're going to be out of time. And okay. That is, so, I mean, and I have a whole bunch more. Maybe we'll do a podcast or something after the fact. So let me ask you, if say, a contractor for whatever, for a gazillion widgets, and there's a company and then a minority company, and one bid, the minority company is... $100,000 more. Should they win it if it's $100,000 more because they're a minority-owned company?
No, nobody ever said that.
Okay. Well, that's why I asked the question.
Well, I don't know where you got that from. There must be some basis for the question. No one ever said that. And when you start talking about what we can do, we can talk about whether the moon is made of green tea.
Let's not get silly because you're advocating minority-owned businesses to be able to get more contracts from the city. And I'm just trying to lay some ground rules. I mean, if everything's equal, if there's a problem, if everything's equal and the city's awarding them to minority-owned businesses, then there's a problem. Is there also a problem with being able to get minority-owned companies involved in the participation of winning contracts? And then what is the NAACP going to do about helping minority-owned companies walk through that process?
Oh, those are interesting questions. I think you're asking questions that make some sense. I use the word silly. I don't think anything is silly.
You talk about making the moon. So, and we've got 30 seconds.
You start talking about things that are not before us or on the table. And I'm saying there's no limit. You can talk about anything. But let's talk about things that are germane. And one of the questions that you asked is, what is the NAACP going to do? I think I heard you say going to do to facilitate minority contractors. Yeah. We have a DBE committee, and that is one of the charges of the committee.
Yeah. You've got 10 seconds, and I got to end it.
Okay.
So I thank you. I thank you for being here. Maybe we'll do some stuff on the podcast coming afterwards, but we've got to take a break. Diana Gibson, get a one check on traffic before we leave.
Don't invite me back no more if you ain't going to let me talk.
We've got a major, major delay out of Washington County in through Frederick County. It slows from 40 to 17. Watch out for that. 40 eastbound also jammed up from Hagerstown beyond Boonesboro, and then as you're approaching 17 in Myersville.
Up more than 100 the morning after a 256-point gain, and oil has been surging. It's back over $51 a barrel today. I'm Dave.